From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of messages on the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. The text for this, the 11th message, is verses 19 through 23. Here, the Apostle Paul is showing that not only human beings, but the entire created world has been affected by sin in the wake of Adam's fall. Consequently, God's originally perfect creation is now in a state of degradation. Yet, the text speaks of the creation expecting or longing for redemption, release from the curse. There is a day coming in which God has promised to make all things new. This is what Paul meant by being brought into the liberty of the sons of God. This is the glorious hope of God's believing people. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled, What's Wrong with the World and How God Will Fix It? First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Never Cast Out. The text is John 6 and verse 37, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Is there any instance of our Lord's casting out a coming one? If there be so, we would like to know of it. But there has been none, and there never will be. Among the lost souls in hell, there is not one that can say, I went to Jesus, and he refused me. It is not possible that you or I should be the first to whom Jesus shall break his word. Let us not entertain so dark a suspicion. Suppose we go to Jesus now about the evils of today. Of this we may be sure. He will not refuse us audience or cast us out. Those of us who have often been, and those who have never gone before, let us go together, and we shall see that He will not shut the door of His grace in the face of any one of us. This man receiveth sinners, but he repulses none. We come to Him in weakness and sin, with trembling faith and small knowledge, and slender hope. But He does not cast us out. We come by prayer, and that prayer broken, with confession, and that confession faulty, with praise, and that praise far short of His merits. But yet He receives us. We come diseased, polluted, worn out, and worthless, but He doth in no wise cast us out. Let us come again today to Him who never casts us out.
Surely He will care.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Thank you. What he's saying is that the meaning of the creation here is the whole fabric of this world and indeed of this universe. And Paul says this whole creation has been made subject to vanity. Now, the word vanity has the idea of frailty, weakness. The very next verse, verse 21, gives us another look at this. And it speaks of the bondage of corruption. That's another look at the degradation of creation. What is this bondage of corruption? The word means really that this creation is held as a slave to decay. Now here we've got two elements, weakness and decay. And says the apostle, they are built into the fabric of this world. They're built into the fabric of this universe. You wouldn't think to hear it when you listen to evolutionists, because their theory demands ever expanding volumes of energy. If evolution were true, useful energy has to be increasing constantly. Whereas one of the two most basic laws of all physical science says that useful energy is constantly decreasing. It's called the law of entropy. In other words, this world is running down. So the next time you hear a politician saying the oil supplies are finite, instead of burying your head in the sand or throwing up your hands in horror, say, hallelujah. God knows what he's talking about. It's running down. I'm not going to get off onto other subjects. As it runs down, it's not going to run out. It's not going to pan out the way the ungodly scientists say it's going to pan out. It's going to work out as God says it's going to work out. And it'll not be by accident, it'll not be by nuclear bomb, it'll not be by the hand of man, but it'll be by the hand of God. He's going to do it his way. But everything is running down, subject to vanity, frailty, in the bondage of corruption. Why is this? Paul says, this is not the way it was created. It's not because of a flaw in the creation. It's not because of a flaw in the plan. It's not because something has entered in that wasn't foreseen. The Bible says very clearly that this is done by the hand of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, God said to Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Isaiah 24, verse 6 tells us, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. Paul is saying, you look at the whole fabric of creation. It's not just man was impacted by the fall. It's not just that man was cursed because of his sin. Sin is a vicious thing, and it has cursed not just man, but his whole environment. When you look at the world, the universe in which we live, and wonder what's wrong with the world, why is it running down? Why are there famines? Why are there disasters? Why are there calamities? Use the famous poetic line, why is nature red and tooth and claw? Why? Because the whole creation was made subject to vanity because of man's sin. Charles Hodge, the noted American theologian, pointed out that there were three ideas there. The creation subject to vanity. Second, it was by the hand of God on account of man's sin. But third, this state is not permanent. You see, what we see today, this running down, is not permanent. That's why I say, no matter what the doomsdayers say, remember, the Lord will have the last say here. That leads me from the degradation of creation to the expectation of creation. Now in verse 19 we read, "For the earnest expectation of the creature or the creation waiteth for the manifestation or the revelation or the unveiling of the sons of God." Verse 21, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Now at first sight, when you look at verse 20, the creation was made subject to vanity. Verse 21, it's under the bondage of corruption. And then you look at verse 22, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. You would imagine those are all equivalent terms. And in a way they are, but in a very vital way they're not. John Calvin pointed out, verse 20 is a sentence of death. The curse. The creature made subject to vanity. That's death. That's decay. That's the curse. But in verse 22, the groaning and the travailing are the pains of birth. And that's new life. That's why the apostle here is saying, not only do we have to see the effects of sin in the whole fabric of creation, cursing the world, the very fabric in which we live, cursing the very animal creation. Not only do we have to see that, but we have to see that there is a promise here of life. There's a glorious expectation. Now, what is the expectation? Well, we're told it's the manifestation of the sons of God, the revelation, when God is going to unveil the sons of God. I don't want to get off on homiletical tangents here, but that does make me stop and think. I look across a congregation like this, and I wonder, when God unveils to the whole universe the identity of the true sons of God, will you be there? You see, in the church, quite naturally and rightly, quite properly, we receive people upon a credible profession of faith. We cannot read hearts. We cannot read minds. We are not the lords of human conscience. But the Bible tells me the foundation of God standeth sure, in that the Lord knoweth them that are His. I just say to you tonight, and I trust that it will get through to every heart, and I'm not saying anything to you that I have not said to me. Many and many a time I have got before God to seek to examine my own heart in His presence on this very matter. I say to you tonight, my friend, there is a world of difference between being accepted by the church on earth on the basis of a profession against which we could bring no contrary proof, and being one of the true, born again, blood washed, justified by faith, accepted of God, adopted sons of God. World of difference. You see, the church members in hell. The Presbyterians and Free Presbyterians and Baptists and Independent Baptists and Methodists and Episcopalians and Roman Catholics and the whole bunch, every denomination the world has ever known, will have its members in hell. It's coming a day when God will unveil before the whole universe, here are my sons. Here are my children. Here are my people. Oh, what a day that's going to be. I do not say all this simply to cause doubt in believing minds. That's not the purpose. But it is to say, do not be hiding behind what you know to be an empty religious facade. Do not be hiding behind what you know to be a Christless, meaningless profession of religion that's enough to keep people off your back or preachers off your case, but you know will never stand the test of the judgment day. There's a day coming for the unveiling of the sons of God. That day, we are told in verse 21, will be a day of glorious liberty. The glorious liberty of the sons of God, the children of God. Glorious liberty is literally the liberty of glory. What a day that's going to be. It's called the adoption. And all that is included in being among God's children will be known and experienced. It's called the redemption of the body. As time permits, we'll come back to that description. For the moment, what I'm saying is, this is what we earnestly expect. We read the earnest expectation. You can be grateful, that's a Greek word that it's translating. It's not an English word you've got to get your tongue round every day. It's a word of 12 letters and various component parts. It's a word that has the idea of stretching the head out from the neck or from the body, stretching it out there, putting the head out there, trying to get a glimpse of something, trying to see something. Stretching out the head to see. This is the idea of expectancy, anticipation, eagerness. We eagerly expect. Yet, you know, we read that and the question comes again. Where are the Christians who are eagerly expecting the coming of the Lord? Where are the Christians who are eagerly expecting meeting with the Savior? Oh no, we're so busy. We have dollars and cents to make. We have bills to pay. We have school papers to prepare. We have work to do. Blow the whole out of it. If it turns your eyes from Christ. Now don't you students go home and tell your professors, I told you to blow the whole out of it. I put an if in there. And that if is all important, especially if you... I'm looking in a certain direction, or a student of mine. There's a very big if. What I'm saying is these things ought not to come between us and the Lord. We serve the Lord in all these situations. We're looking unto Jesus, but we're not only looking unto Jesus, we're looking for Him. I don't know when He's coming. I could tell you when He's not coming. And it'll not be in any of the days and dates that those idiotic people who say they've seen God on His throne and angels lighting on their shoulder and the Lord coming and sitting in the settee beside them to tell them the date. I can tell you that's certainly not going to be it. Because the Bible tells you that'll not be it. I don't know when He's coming. But I know He's coming.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.